From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show.
Well, how the hell are you, my Circle of Intimacy, on this, like, I don't know, like, week before the eve, before Christmas Eve, and we're all sitting here on bated breath saying, hey, LP, are you going to go ahead and actually do a Christmas Eve Christmas show? I'm just kind of wondering because, do I got to bring out the whiskey and do I have to turn down the volume? Or better yet, why don't we go ahead and, is that No Cash? Yes, it is, Clay. Yes, it is. Because No Cash is an awesome band. Even though they haven't put anything out outside of that one really great album, and then after that, they sort of like, up like a fart in the wind, and it's like, hey, No Cash, are we going to hear anything back from you ever again?
How about new?
Kind of like Tat. You know, Tat was there for a second, and then boom. But we're talking about important things over here. It looks like LP may be doing a Christmas show. It'll be like the first time in the 3-year history of the show that I'm actually going to be sitting here reading "Twas the Night Before Christmas." You can be here with Uncle LP on Christmas Eve as we go ahead and trim the Christmas tree, sing Christmas carols, and read weird, fucked up headlines, and sit there and just ask ourselves,
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, what the hell is that all about, right? All right, kids, so it's Friday night, just like we've always done in the past over here, right? And am I prepared like I ever am over here? I mean,
how about new?
This was an exceptionally busy week, but you want to know something? I went ahead and got down to the important nitty-gritty stuff. Like, for instance, the best story of the week, the most heartwarming story that just warms the cockles of your heart and makes you sit there and just talk about injustice, asking yourself, where the fuck is Greta when you need her?
How dare you?
Is when the Swearbirds, that's right, kids, the Swearbirds, over at Lincolnshire Wildlife Park, they had to separate these 5 African gray parents because they were caught encouraging each other to swear at the guests. And I'm just sitting there saying, hey, listen to me, all right?
How dare you?
Very insulting, very, very non-inclusive. And, what in the fuck is that all about? So somebody started a petition that we're all going to have to go ahead and get on board. And they started a petition to go ahead and help the Lincolnshire Wildlife Park. Actually, I don't know, get an exhibit that will go ahead and generate some money. So what is this exhibit, you say, LP? You know, that exhibit that will sit there and just... I don't think that's the drop we were going for. Let's go for this one here, huh?
I like money.
There we go. That's the drop we wanted. So, hey, you know what the exhibit was? They said, why don't you create an adult beer garden and you just feature the Swearbirds together? And I was just like, dude, this would be great. It's like a great competitor to the fucking Tiki Room over at Walt Disney World. I mean, could you imagine that? Hanging out with a bunch of Swearbirds that are sitting there cussing each other out, shouting at the guests and saying all kinds of filthy things. It would be the most awesome thing. In fact, I think they should take a tour with these guys and somebody should sneak them into the Tiki Room for the final sing-along at the end with all the kids. Think of what a wonderful, warm, heartfelt moment that could be. You know, it'll just warm the cockles of your heart and make you feel all warm.
Aww.
Yeah, exactly like that. And you could sit there and go ahead and have an exciting show and a memorable experience. Something kind of like the experience that some of our friends over in the Bronx Zoo experienced when they decided to go over for a little day out at the zoo with the kids. They went to the gorilla exhibit, and the gorillas decided to go ahead and have freaky sex right in front of them because,
I mean, what the fuck?
So apparently the raunchy scene took place at the Bronx Zoo in New York City and was witnessed by a dad who had taken his children out for the day. And, oh my.
How dare you?
So in the short clip, right, the two primates, they get close for what seems to be a cuddle. Innocent, wonderful, heartfelt. But it quickly turns into a public sex act when the male gorilla pushes his primate pal down towards his genital area. The following act shocks all the adults
How dare
who are
you?
Taking pictures and videos with all the children.
One of the parents said, I was in the gorilla exhibit with my 4-year-old daughter and niece. My wife had to stay out of the exhibit with my sleeping son. So I wanted to capture a lot of video. And then this magic happened.
How dare you?
Hey, listen, man. You know something? It's the magic of wonderful exhibits like that at the public zoo, any of those places. It reminds me of that warm, heartfelt moment that I experienced one day over at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Why, pray tell, LP, in this wonderful season of joy and warmth and festivities, could you go ahead and regale us with this wonderful experience that you've probably talked about before? Absolutely, I'd be happy to. So one day I'm sitting there, decided to go over to the Animal Kingdom, back in the day when I used to live over in the Orlando area. And we were wandering through the Animal Kingdom, and it just opened up the Asian part of the exhibit. And inside this was this cute little, like, clubhouse with a rope tower and everything that hosted an entire family of chimpanzees over there. And my wife and I are walking up there, and there are these two kids over there trying to get the attention of the chimpanzees. They're sitting there saying, hey, chimpanzee, hey! And their mother's like, listen, leave the chimpanzees alone. If they don't want to go ahead and play with you, you shouldn't be harassing them. Well, did the kids go ahead and actually listen to mom, huh? I'm just wondering.
How about no?
Of course not. Fuck mom. She doesn't know what she's talking about. So one of the kids gets a brilliant idea. I know what I'll do. I'll take this cup that I've got in my hand, and I'll throw it right at the chimpanzees. And you just got to ask yourself and duck and cover. So cup goes over, lands next to a chimpanzee. He looks down at it, looks back over at the kids, and then goes, whoo, whoo. Next thing you know, the whole gang of chimps all line up. They squat up right on top of their little shelter there. And they proceed to go ahead and shit in their hands and throw it at the kids. It's brown rain of defecating wonderfulness just covers the kids from fucking head to toe. And what I was absolutely I was just stunned and amazed by, was the laser precision that these chimpanzees managed to shower these kids with all that shit in one great big shitstorm. It was absolutely epic. And moral of the story is, maybe what you should do is, I don't know, not throw shit at the chimpanzees. But I'm sure the kids learned a very valuable experience there. Oh, I got one even better. So I had a friend, an older friend, who was talking about when he had had to serve over in Guam. And at that time, Guam really wasn't like, you know, there wasn't much to it in the sense of the runway. He's like, you get a 3-month stint out in the middle of Guam over here, and you'd be sitting in the airfields waiting for your next C-130 to come down, drop off some cargo. And, of course, the guys that were on there were a bunch of assholes. They're just absolute jerks. So at one point, they had pissed these guys off, and they said, you know what? We're going to fucking get these guys. So they had a flight suit, an orange flight suit, and a helmet that looked exactly like the guys that jumped off the C-130 to throw off all of the cargo. So what they wind up doing is they say, you know what? Let's go ahead and harass the fucking chimpanzees in the trees. So they didn't get just one gang of chimps. They harassed every gang of chimps from one end of the runway to the other end of the runway. But they made sure to piss the chimps off when they're only wearing that flight suit and the helmet. Months go by, 3 months down the road, or whatever it is, the next airlift that comes in, C-130 comes down and lands. Cargo door opens in the back. Guys come out with the light with the flight suits on. All of a sudden in the trees, you don't hear just, oh, oh. It's a whole gang of them, hundreds of them, all pissed off at these guys who are sitting here with these cargo, you know, unloading the cargo out of the C-130, because, of course, they're thinking, hey, that's the asshole who's fucking with us. So they all squad up, about 100 of them, and as they're unloading the cargo, the hurricane of shit that came pouring down on these guys, the brown storm, the brown rain of just, you know, the hurricane was tremendous. So bad they couldn't finish unloading everything, so they were just kind of like starting to taxi off the runway with the cargo door open, just hurling the shit out and then taking off and went off into the sunset. It was the greatest game of one-upsmanship I've ever seen played in my life or heard of. Nothing quite like getting a squad of pissed off chimpanzees to shit all over people for you. You know what I'm saying? And speaking of people shitting all over you, you know, last week we went ahead, or maybe a couple weeks back, it was the last episode that I just put up over on the podcast. I was talking about that terrible fucking masterclass that Metallica went ahead and created, right? You remember that shit show, How to Be a Fucking Band, right? You remember that dumbass masterclass we talked about? Well, I'll tell you what, kids. On the heels of that great shit show that was the Metallica masterclass on how to be a band, you know, like Lars saying, let the little stuff go, that fucktard. Well, we have another equally riveting masterclass by none other than former President William Jefferson Clinton on inclusive leadership. I know what you're saying.
I mean, what the fuck?
When I got that shit, it dropped into my freaking inbox, and I'm looking at this going, I beg your pardon? And then him talking about inclusiveness on his fucking masterclass series over there, I'm like, are you kidding me, man?
I mean, what the fuck?
I mean, inclusive blowjobs don't matter, right? You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking, it got me to thinking here, right? I'll tell you, maybe Metallica should have ditched the Dinkleberry Unflushable Therapist from their Some Kind of Monster documentary and just, like, hired Bill Clinton instead to have, like, a private masterclass with James and Lars Ulrich on inclusive leadership while jet-setting from concert to concert on the Lolita Express with him and Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, that would have been fantastic, right? What, too soon? Oh, well, you know. Man, some people got to grow a thicker skin. I'm just saying. So, when the wonderful merriment of this holiday season, my anniversary was right around the corner. It was a couple days back. And MR says to me, hey, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and get us something. Let's go take off and hang out over at this event that I'm going to go get us to. And I was like, all right, sure. Where are we going to go to? I can't tell you. So she takes me for my anniversary over to Cirque du Soleil, the holidays thing. It was the fantastic Cirque du Soleil super spreader event that was over at the Gaylord Resorts. The best part was we were in like row 5, right? And of course, over here, thank you very much, Gabriel. And of course, over here, we've got like the Omicron thing, outbreak, whatever the fuck happening. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so like they're probably going to space us like 80 feet apart. There'll be 6 of us in the crowd. It's going to be really wonderful. Nah, man, fuck that. Cirque du Soleil was great. They're like shoulder to shoulder, shoehorn those fuckers in next to each other and let them go ahead and get sick. And of course, right at the beginning of the show, they're like, oh, yeah, be sure to keep your mask on. And I'm just like, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
And the show itself was really pretty awesome. There was a couple things there, like a guy that climbed up a pole, did a few things that was really interesting. And then, but the guy who really went ahead and made it all come together had to be the strong guy chin balancer, right? So he's like the ringmaster of the show, comes out, he's doing his thing, blah, 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 whatever. Next thing you know, he's taking stuff, like he starts off with I forget what, and lifts it up, shoves it on his chin, puts his hands out there, and it's balancing on his face. And I'm like, hey, that's pretty interesting. And then, of course, he goes ahead and he's like reminding me of the Mallory Square Key West Sunset Festival at the southernmost point. There's a dude over there that I saw that took like a clothes washer and balanced it on his chin. And I'm like, if that is not one of the most useless mutant abilities that I've ever seen in my life, I don't know what the fuck is, but whatever, man, he's getting paid and I'm not, so I should just shut the fuck up. At any rate, so he goes ahead and he gets this massive fucking oak table, right? And he goes ahead and he takes this table and he puts it on his chin like something from a local Pottery Barn store or something. So I'm thinking maybe he's going to like balance an entire table, maybe some chairs and some festive holiday place settings. But like, I was totally wrong, man. I was completely wrong. You know, I was thinking maybe Pottery Barn is the new sponsor of the show. So instead what he does after he puts that down and throws his hands up for the applause, yay, he goes over and he pulls out one of those 32-foot ladders. And so AMR leans over to me and she whispers into my ear, oh, look, hon, it's a WWE tables, ladders, and chairs match. And I was just like, bro, that's fantastic. So I was thinking to myself, could you just imagine it, right? Out from the back, all of a sudden, the curtain flies open. And then you got, like, J.R. Ross. Good God almighty, it's Jeff Hardy with a chair. And Jeff Hardy comes rushing out from the backstage area, racing to the stage with a steel chair, and takes out one of Santa's little helpers with a thoink from behind. Once he's got them all plastered out like that, Jeff Hardy swings right over there, picks him up, lays him on the Pottery Barn table, you know, just balanced on this dude's face, and tastefully tablescaped for the holidays. And then the next thing you know, from the top, he climbs up his face, jumps up to the top of the ladder, and swanton bombs off the top of this dude's chin. Oh my God, Jeff, think of your family. Could you just imagine? That's what I was expecting. Now, did LP go ahead and get that, what he was expecting?
How about new?
Absolutely not. So he went ahead and balanced the ladder on his face, and I was like, all right, that was pretty cool. Overall, I'd say it was an awesome event. If you get a chance, go check it out. Hopefully you too will go ahead and enjoy it. But more importantly, kids, we need to go ahead and cover some ground with some PSAs tonight, okay? So as always, later on in the show, we'll be going ahead and talking about LP's festive gift ideas for those last-minute purchases that you may not have gotten, or you might be in a bind and there's a loved one in your life, and you're going to need to go ahead and get a holiday gift last minute, and you're struggling for ideas. No worries, kids. As you know, the Cultural Attaché of the Stars is here to help you with my last-minute gift ideas, just curated for this audience specifically. So hold tight. We'll catch that in a later segment. But first, we got to cover a couple PSAs here, okay? Let's take things seriously. Let's not go ahead and actually, like, get too out of hand here where you wind up going ahead and being like our friend over here who wound up getting a vibrator stuck in her butt during sex with her boyfriend and decided that the best place to put this would be, like, on the news, you know, in Metro UK.
I mean, what the fuck?
So apparently, our good friend over here, Emma Phillips, she's a mother of one from Waisley Maryside, and she thought that her boyfriend, had hidden the vibrator under the pillow as a prank. But then when she pressed down on her stomach, she felt a buzzing inside of her. The spirit moved her. They tried to remove it using a fork and handle and barbecue prongs, but all efforts failed. Now, let's just stop right here, okay? I'm just like, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Barbecue prongs? You know, back in the day, if you recall, when we were sitting here many, many episodes back, because we're at like episode 117 or some shit like this, we talked about the Darwin Awards, and we talked about the one dude who was kind of bored out of his gourd, decided to shove an egg up his ass and try to fish it out with a coat hanger, right? And we were all kind of like, dude, I mean, what are you fucking...
I mean, what the fuck?
All right, that was kind of embarrassing, weird, and a little bit strange. But now, you get a vibrator stuck in you and it's buzzing. And what you do is you just go ahead and you like, you know what? Why don't you just go ahead and get the barbecue tongs over there? I mean, you know, they're probably going to go ahead and spread you open like you're getting some sort of like regular exam over at the gynecologist, but you know. At any rate, so she was rushed over to the hospital to have the sex toy taken out. And now, she feels compelled by the power of Christ to warn people not to be afraid of getting help in embarrassing situations because, you know. She says, we were looking around the bed in case it had fallen out. You know, when I leaned on my stomach, I could feel it vibrating. It was stuck low down and at one point was even wedged behind my hip.
I mean, what the fuck?
For a while, Lee was suggesting all kinds of wonderful options. He tried a kitchen fork handle, and I've just got out, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Which we won't be using again. And she said she could feel it at one point that it was too far up. It was a goner. So then he tried barbecue prongs. But after a certain point, after an hour of trying, we knew we were going to have to go to the hospital. We were both a bit shocked.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, an hour. An hour with the fucking barbecue prongs. What in the hell is wrong with you people? I mean, did he go ahead and, like, put some, like, barbecue sauce on it at least to lube it up or something like that? Holy crap. So apparently, you know, she's saying, well, we'd both been drinking the night before. We couldn't drive. We had to go ahead and do this. And we had to call the ambulance. And I had a vibrator in my ass and blah, blah, blah. So now Miss Emma here is a spokesperson for Have a Safe, Responsible Christmas. Don't unwrap your gifts and go shoving up your ass in the middle of the night after you've had a little bit too much to drink over there, because Santa won't be there to go ahead and bail you out in the morning. You're going to have to go over to the hospital. And, you know, once the barbecue prongs don't work, once the fork handles don't work, you know, once the shoehorn doesn't open your ass up anymore, you're going to have to go over there and get it resolved, okay? So let's have a safe, responsible Christmas. Because you never know what can happen. You've got to go ahead and be very, very fucking careful here, right? Because it all starts with a vibrator, right? Uh-oh, LP just pressed the wrong button. Oh, wait a second. No, yes. Oh, I hate when I do that. There we go. It all starts with that, and then the next thing you know, You're eating your own hair, and you've got a massive fucking hairball in your stomach, and with a tail that's got to go ahead and be removed. And So there's a woman who is addicted to pulling out and eating her own hair, and a giant hairball measuring 15 centimeters was removed from her stomach. What? So she was suffering from nausea and vomiting and an extremely swollen abdomen when she arrived at a hospital in the U.S. She'd suffered a dramatic weight loss, and she lost her appetite. So when she was rushed to surgery, they found a giant hairball was lodged in her digestive tract with a small tail of hair trailing into her intestines and a second four-centimeter hairball nestled deeper in her bowel. And, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
You know, something nine, exactly. I mean, what in the hell is she doing? She's eating her own hair here, right? I'm thinking maybe she's, like, licking the hair off of her arm or something like that. Maybe instead of shaving her legs or getting some great beauty hacks off of TikTok or something like that, maybe what she's doing is she's just licking the hair off of her legs and accumulating all of this stuff over inside there. And I'm wondering, you think that maybe she's from Toronto? I would probably say.
I mean, what the fuck?
So again, we talked about don't shove things up your ass. Don't be eating your own hair, okay? Because you could wind up getting a hairball, all right, kids? I mean, let's just be real.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
And of course, when the holidays are there and you really don't know what exactly is going on and you really get into the party and into the mood, into the insanity, you've got to go ahead and make sure to resist the urge to just slam a phone down your gullet and stick it in your stomach. Because apparently this dude in Egypt felt compelled to swallow his phone, and it just stayed in his stomach for like 6 months. And I'm just wondering if this dude went ahead and actually got phone calls and stuff like that. If you'd like to go ahead and see the after image of what happens to a phone after it's been sitting over in your stomach for about 6 months, you know, there you go. It's a nice festive ornament. Maybe what you do is you turn it into a Christmas tree thing that you hang on the tree, and you sit there and you basically say, hey, look, this is a time when I was fucking stupid and I shoved a bunch of shit down my throat. I probably shouldn't have. And it's turned yellow. I mean, it's golden. It's glitzy. It's beautiful. And somehow this dude survived anyways, which means, of course, he's going to reproduce and have kids, and we'll probably have more stories like this, which, let me tell you, in today's world, we really need something to laugh about. You know what I'm saying? Of course you do. All right, kids, I'm going to go ahead and take a break here because we just got to make sure, of course, everybody's on the same page. Don't be like these guys. Don't go ahead and shove a vibrator up your ass on, you know, and try to go ahead and fish it out with barbecue tongs. Don't go ahead and sit there and lick the hair off your arms and legs and eat the hair from your head, or maybe looking for like hors d'oeuvres or something to go with the champagne of the celebration. You know, fish some stuff out of the soap scum of the bathtub to go ahead and shove in your gut to go ahead and just, you know, capture the essence of what is Christmas and great cooking. And please, please, by all means, don't go ahead and eat your cell phone, all right? Are we all on the same page here, huh?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
All right, so now that we got that out of the way, LP's going to take a break. We got more to come. Like I said, we'll have some of LP's fantastic gift ideas later on in the show. It's for those last-minute shoppers. Stick around until then. Hey, kids, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. You're listening to Joculation. I'll tell you this much, PZ. I do not go ahead and give them any kind of respect or anything simply because they're letting Joe Rogan sort of speak his mind as long as he's going ahead and providing them with cash. Remember, what's going to happen is if you're an independent artist, for instance, it's terrible, right? Look, I got a podcast over there. I've got a couple thousand listens. And you want to know what the payout on that was? About $18. You want to know what Joe Rogan's making? What, probably, what was it that he signed a deal for, like $100 million or something like that? It all really depends, I guess, on the size of the audience and things of that nature. I'll tell you this much. Hive and Oriole have gone ahead and paid me a hell of a lot more than Spotify ever will. And one of the worst things that ever happened was there was an analysis, I guess it was of Lady Gaga's song. I think it was like Monster when she went ahead and had it out there. I forget what the song was, but it had over 1 million plays. And Spotify paid her out something like, I think it was $1,000. And so I was just like, no, Spotify, fuck them. You know.
just saying.
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
Well, that one's important. Probably my answer to that whole thing is more one of these, right?
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
No, I'm not going to go ahead and give Spotify any credit. All right, kids, it's Friday night. It's LP Faust, your host. And you know something? We've gone ahead and sat here and had our first segment over here getting ready. It's like this is like the warm-up show before the Christmas Eve show. And we're thinking LP's going to go ahead and get a Christmas Eve show going on over here. I'm thinking, because nothing is more relaxing, more heartfelt, warming. Doesn't it warm the cockles of your heart to think, you know something, I too could go ahead and on Christmas Eve as I'm wrapping the gifts, sit there and hear about how people jam sex toys up their butt and try to pull them out with barbecue tongs. I mean, where else are you going to go ahead and find stories like this? Ah! I'm just saying, those are the kind of things that make Christmas celebrations wonderful. Like you turn up LP in the background as you're having that wonderful formal Christmas Eve dinner with your family. Everybody's sitting there feeling wonderful and heartfelt and so just love of humankind going on out there. I'm going to get some great shit tomorrow morning when I open up my gifts. Things like that. And in the background, we can sit here and talk about things like that, like what we were just talking about here. You know, people eating their hair and creating hairballs in their stomach that they have to get surgically removed. That is like cockle warming, if you ask me. I'm just saying. You know what I'm talking about? Of course you do. One thing I do want to go ahead and say is, remember, Christmas is all about that festive season of giving. It's all about love, warmth, and family. It's the kind of thing that makes you want to, like, feel what love really is all about. You know, nothing says, Mom, I love you, quite like holding on to her corpse for months as long as the Social Security payments continue to come in.
What the fuck?
You know what I mean? That, to me, says, hey, Mom, I love you, and I want to go ahead and share this special time of the year with you. I know you couldn't leave me anything, so I'm just going to keep your mummified body under my bed while the checks are clearing, okay? I'm just... So, a New Hampshire woman allegedly kept her mom's corpse hidden in her home for nearly 6 months as the Social Security checks continued to be deposited in the dead woman's bank account because...
How dare you?
Kimberly K. Heller was arrested on November 18th and charged with abuse of a corpse. Wait a minute. Is that like a real charge?
Dude, I mean, what the fuck?
The hell's abuse of a corpse? I'm just kind of wondering. But I digress. We'll just go ahead and move on with this. So the police first responded to her home, to a call in her home on October 24th after her family requested a welfare check for her mother, whom they said they had not seen for several months, according to the release. However, nobody was home at the time. When the coppers returned the next day, police said Heller refused to let them inside, and they returned with a search warrant and discovered her mother's dead body. An autopsy later determined that Heller's mother, who had died of natural causes just days before Memorial Day, was safely ensconced in her home. So investigators also learned that during the nearly 6 months she hid her mom's corpse, her mother's Social Security payments were still being deposited in the bank. So, kids, the moral of the story is we want to have wonderful, warm, loving holidays like that. You know, keep the family close. Make sure the checks keep clearing the bank so that we can have a happy holiday and not have to really worry about going ahead and taking care of ourselves. Or you know something? Like, when you're with that person, that very special person, right, you want to go ahead and have them sit there and have their undivided attention and love, that love that almost smothers you. Or even in some ways, like what Juliana Pena, who just won the world title from like Amanda Nunes over inside of the UFC. Nothing new that people do that here all the time. But do they get charged with abuse of a corpse, Clay? That's the big question. Juliana Pena summed it up right. She said, you know something? Find that man that looks at you the way that Zac Efron looked at me last night. So, last night, of course, being when she went ahead and beat the shit out of like Amanda Nunes and choked her out, and Zac Efron was caught ogling her as she was getting ready to go up into the ring. So I was thinking to myself, you know, those are life goals, all right, but you know what might be real life goals? Maybe not so much have a man go ahead and, like, ogle you, or I should say, like, look at you the way that Zac Efron looked at me. Maybe what you want really is, like, that kind of love, like, Marilyn Manson had for Evan Rachel Wood when he called her 158 times after their breakup and fantasized about smashing her skull in with a sledgehammer.
I mean, what the fuck?
Now, that, kids, is the kind of love
that is really difficult to find. Yeah, I know. Hey, LP, I think you went ahead and maybe crossed the line. I mean, did I really cross the line? I'm just kind of wondering over here.
How dare you?
But apparently what winds up happening is Marilyn Manson told Spin Magazine in 2009, because he can't shut the fuck up, that he called the actor Evan Rachel Wood 158 times and fantasized daily about smashing her skull in with a sledgehammer after their breakup. I'm just going to stop right here for a second. Listen, man. If you happen to be so inclined to be a crazy fucking nut job like this, the last thing you want to do is, I don't know, go to a place like Rolling Stone or, I don't know, Spin Magazine and freaking tell the world, hey, you know what? I'm a fucking crazy person. Not only did I go ahead and, like, stalk her ass and, like, try to call her 158 times in a day, I fantasized about smashing her head in with a sledgehammer. What? What the fuck? Actually, oh.
What the fuck?
No, man, this isn't what you want. But it's a kind of love, you know? I'm saying it's just really fucked up. So, you know, we talked about this whole thing about, well, what do you go ahead and do? You want to send something that's really special to somebody that you've got these really strong feelings and attachments to. And, of course, you could go the typical route. You know what I'm talking about. Like, maybe you go over there and go into the Goop catalog for the holidays and buy some weird fucked up shit inside of here that costs a ton of money, like this number 9 trousse de toilette, $503. No matter how chic looking a toiletry bag, this expense has got to go to some special powers. Dental flossing without leaving your bed. So there's like this thing. I guess it's like whatever the fuck this thing is. I guess it's there. It's like to carry your toilet paper around in, perhaps your tampons and stuff. Very stylish, very overpriced. You know, there's jade vaginal eggs. There's all kinds of other things. There's Wolverine claws and stupid shit like that. But what I would say is just be careful what you're doing with this stuff, because kids, remember something. You can take things a little bit too far when you go ahead and get one of these weird things, right? You go to the Goop Labs, you get some stuff there. Next thing you know, you're over inside of, like, watching Goop on Netflix and not for research purposes for a show like this, but, like, for reals. And you're sitting there going ahead and getting sucked into this Are You Into It nonsense and, you know, all kinds of vaginal eggs, and you're staring at your vagina with a mirror, you know, like you're backing a truck up inside of, like, a tunnel or something like that. And then the next thing you know, you find yourself competing over in Saudi Arabia in a camel beauty contest, and you wind up getting called out because your camel gets barred because you're Botoxing the shit out of your camel's face so that they'll win the beauty contest. And I mean,
what the fuck?
So over in Dubai, Saudi authorities have conducted their biggest ever crackdown on camel beauty contestants that receive Botox injections and other artificial touch-ups. The state-run Saudi press agency reported on Wednesday.
What the fuck?
If you ever wondered if you've got too much time and money on your hands, you know, I do want to see a Botox camel also, because what this reminds me of is that girl that decided to start hammering units of Botox in her face and, like, one side of her face started to slide off like a Salvador Dali painting, and she had to get evened out, and so they hammered her face with some more Botox. I would freaking love to see a camel beauty contest. Who in the fuck judges this stuff, man? What the fuck is wrong with you fucking people? What is wrong with the world today? Am I the only person that is sitting here going, what in the hell is going on, man? At any rate, Saudi Arabia's popular King Abdulaziz Camel Festival, that's what I want to do. My goal in life is I want a camel beauty festival named after me. That's right, the Camel Beauty Festival of LP Faust. That would be a fucking award-winning show. But, no, it's named after the king of freaking Saudi Arabia over here. It invites breeders of the most beautiful animals, or camels, to compete for $66 million in fucking prize money. Dude!
I mean, what the fuck? I mean, what the fuck? I mean, what the fuck?
60...
I mean, what the fuck?
$66 million freaking dollars for this? What on earth is going on in this world? Botox injections, facelifts, and other cosmetic alterations to make the camels more attractive are strictly prohibited. Jurors decide the winner based on the shape of the camel's heads, neck, humps, dress, and posture. Dude. Judges at the month-long festival in the desert northeast Saudi Arabia capital of Riyadh are escalating their clampdown on artificially enhanced camels, dudes. The official news agency reported using, quote, specialized and advanced technology to detect tampering. Bro. Let me tell you something. I know, Normak, I can't hit this shit enough, right? I'm like, specialized in advanced technology? We don't want to put people on the moon because it's too fucking expensive, but I tell you what, duck-faced camels cannot be tolerated. We need to hunt them down and find out who in the hell is going ahead and taking care
of them. What the fuck?
I'm just like, what the hell? So this year, authorities done this crackdown. They discovered dozens of breeders that had stretched out the lips and noses of camels, used hormones to boost the beast's muscles, injected camels' heads and lips with Botox to make them bigger, inflated body parts with rubber bands, and used fillers to relax their face.
Dude. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, what the fuck? I mean, what the fuck?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm just waiting for the ass implants to show up on the camels as well. You know what I'm saying over there? No. You know what? That's not enough. Here we go.
Whoa!
That's what we need. A nearly dead Ric Flair. The club is keen to halt all acts of tampering and deception in the beautification of camels. We would impose strict penalties on manipulators. So the Camel Beauty Contest is at the heart of a massive carnival, which also features camel races, sales, other festivities showcasing thousands of dromedaries. The extravaganza seeks to preserve the camel's role in the kingdom's Bedouin tradition and heritage. Even as the oil country plows ahead with modernizing mega projects. Let me tell you something. You know for a fact there's going to be there's going to be somebody out there that's going to go ahead and do a TikTok challenge on this, right? You know for a fact. They're going to sit here and they're going to say, "Hey, look at these wonderful beauty hacks for camels over here." You know what? If only I go ahead and take a couple rubber bands and wrap them around my sphincter so that I can win the baboon ass challenge. Let me tell you something, man. That's going to go ahead and put the Kylie lip challenge to fucking shame. We talked about it in an earlier episode. And if you didn't miss it, if you missed the latest podcast that's out there, I think it's podcast 116. Go check it out, man. You'll see all of this foolishness, or maybe it's a 111. I can't remember which one. Just the latest podcast. It's over on Hive. You can check it out. It covers the baboon ass challenge, which, of course, LP went ahead and came up with because I was so deeply inspired. So, of course, then you ask yourself, well, if I can't go ahead and get something goop because I might get sucked up into that culture, and I might go ahead and actually do something stupid like get involved in this camel beautification thing, even though it's for a noble cause of $66 million, what in the hell can I do? Hi, LP. Could you help me find something for my friends, for my special someone in my life? Sure, I'll tell you what you could do. You could go ahead and do exactly what this wonderful young lady did. She's an angel. She's a saint for her boyfriend. She went ahead and bought her boyfriend an alternative a Christmas gift. Sex with someone else. I mean, that's a wonderful thing, right? So OnlyFans model Kazumi has been so busy with work, she worried her boyfriend might need some extra loving. So the polyamorous girlfriend decided on a novel gift for him. So the 24-year-old who's in a polyamorous relationship with her boyfriend recently took him to a legal brothel over in the state of Nevada for an early gift. After her partner enjoyed his experience, Kazumi's now looking for her own male sex worker so she can have some fun too. I've been so busy working on my OnlyFans, I felt like he needed some extra loving. Kazumi added, because she was concerned he was lonely. My boyfriend's a supportive partner, and I feel like sometimes he's shy. So she decided to suggest the idea and see what he thought. And, you know, what did he say? I mean, you know.
Woo!
We have good sex, but I wanted him to explore something out of the box. And, you know, upon the arrival, she just stayed waiting patiently in the area while her boyfriend went off and, quote, did his thing during a 30-minute appointment. The model added that she paid extra for a luxury experience for a partner, as she wanted to ensure that both he and the sex worker were as safe and as comfortable as possible. Hasn't that just warmed the cockles of your heart? I'm just saying. She said people shouldn't feel ashamed for buying sex. Many people buy it, and an open conversation can make it less stigmatized. It's always been in the interest of the sex working world. If we wanted something, why not pay for it ethically in a legal brothel? So, kids, if you're taking a look for some special gift for that special someone, what you could do is you could go out and do exactly what she did. Get your partner this fantastic experience. Think long and hard. Give them something special. Give them the gift of sex with somebody else that's not you, right? But you're probably saying, LP, that's a little extreme for me. Is there something else that you might be able to come up with that's a little bit more family-friendly? But of course, you know, part of the joy of opening a gift on Christmas Day is seeing that gift and sort of getting excited just when the gift is wrapped up, wondering what's inside. And what brings excitement to somebody more so than, like, bacon-scented wrapping paper? You know what I'm saying, kids? Bacon-scented wrapping paper, that's the way that we kick this off. Smoky, delicious, barbecued wonderfulness, right? It's absolutely delicious. Wonderful addition to go ahead and absolutely get your, start sort of kick off the celebration. And of course, you know, in the past, what we wound up doing is we wound up going ahead and talking about all kinds of really wonderful things that we could go ahead and, you know, get to get for that special someone. Remember, we got stuff where you could get your face put on like a thong that they could go ahead and wear, or perhaps put your face on a toaster so that your face gets burned into their bread every morning when they go ahead and wake up. Well, why not start off that fantastic Christmas celebration by putting your face on the gift wrap? That's right, kids. You too can go ahead and get your mug put all over the Christmas wrapping paper, because if bacon's not enough, why not just go ahead and stick your face on it? You know what I'm saying? So then that way, everybody can go ahead and just sort of like, you can memorialize yourself inside of there. And of course, if that's not enough for you, there's always something else, you know, like the Christmas Eve party, getting stuff together, getting ready to go ahead and have a good time. You can always go ahead and get this fantastic ugly sweater of Santa taking a piss off the edge of the roof there. The wonderful part about it is his urine stream lights up. It's a wonderful addition to every Christmas party ugly sweater competition that you could possibly imagine. And of course, for that special somebody that you really want to go ahead and let them know that you feel extra special about them, one of the other additions that you can do is, you know, everybody's got a shower. Why not get a little bit of poop soap on a rope for them? I mean, nothing says you're a piece of shit quite like the poop soap on a rope. And the best part, kids, it even has corn inside of it. So you two can sit there and feel the kernels of corn rubbing up against your skin as you're sitting there scrubbing down for the holidays and making sure that you're going ahead and getting things clean over there. Oh, my God. I've actually got to go ahead and take a break here in just a second. But before we go, nothing really says I'm trying to be safe and think about you and love you and show you how special you are, quite like making sure that you've got your valuables stored inside your sex toy. That's right, kids. There's the Auto Blow Decoy Safe, and it's the world's safest home safe. Why go ahead and just get an Auto Blow when you can go ahead and stick inside there all of your valuables, your wallet, your gold, and everything else? Makes a great gift over there. You don't need to store your valuables anywhere else. And the best part is, I mean, you're not going to lose your money when all the bills are stuck together. You know what I'm saying, kids? All right. Enough? Did we get enough gift ideas this show? Woo! All right, I'm going to take that as a yes. I'll tell you what, a gold vibrator. Not quite. All right, I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show. Are we running out of gas already? I'm just kind of wondering here.
How about new?
All right, good to know. You're listening to Joculation. this has been one of those crazy, like, pre-Christmas show kind of things. You know what I'm talking about, kids? Because we went ahead and had some PSAs about, you know, don't get sex toys caught inside of your butt and try to pull them out with, like, barbecue tongs. We're talking about beauty pageants for camels where they're Botoxing camels and, like, shoving all kinds of cosmetics in there and developing advanced technology to make sure that nobody will get away with this kind of cheating. We talked about all kinds of creepy stuff like Marilyn Manson and his wonderful form of love with What's-Her-Face. And I'll tell you what, man, like half the show is gone and we're on the back half of it and time is tick, 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 talking away. Hey, kids, I'm LP Faust, your host. Circle of Intimacy is out there, still going pretty strong. You know what I'm saying?
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us.
So, of course, in this holiday season where we're still, like, living in, like, I don't know, day 60, 655, maybe, like, I don't know, 4 million of, like, COVID lockdowns and all that stuff, certain governments would like to let you know that everything's going to be okay, that we're going to be fine. We just have a few more rules, a few more impositions we got to stick on you. You know, we got to go ahead and make sure that you can't travel from place to place and get together with people. So, of course, people want to know what the guidelines are, particularly in New Zealand. I mean, like, hey, you're going to haul us off to jail if we go ahead and do stuff. So, of course, New Zealand wanted to go ahead and make sure that people understood. You'd see anarchists, this is your, like, next-door neighbor. You know what I'm saying? New Zealand wanted to make sure that they were very clear about certain guidelines here. Like, for instance, they wanted to make sure that orgies of up to 25 people are perfectly approved as part of these new COVID rules because you never want to know when.
I mean, what the fuck?
You never know when you're going to need to want to go to an orgy, and you feel compelled by the power of Christ during this holiday season. And you know, hey, you want to know whether or not you can get there. What's max capacity? How fast do I have to book? Things like that. So, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern announced the easing of COVID-19 restrictions on national television, based on the traffic light system. She said orgies for up to 25 people are permitted. So she spoke with Seven Sharp hosts Hillary Berry and Jeremy Wells about New Zealand's reopening timeline, known as the traffic light system. So for some context, the traffic light system has categories of freedoms available to vaccinated Kiwis based on their location and whether they live in a red, orange, or green zone. So in a traffic light system aims to end lockdowns in New Zealand and enforce vaccine passports. So, for instance, Auckland, a major port city in the north of the country's North Island, lined with super yachts, the metro area is currently classified as a red district, meaning Kiwis can engage in everyday essential activities. Aaron explained on national television, "I can confirm that Tinder liaisons have reopened, and it's not strictly embedded in the traffic light system, but if it's a given, up to 25 actually in a red area." So basically, kids, what you want to know is orgies of up to 25 people are, of course, legal. So, kids, this holiday season, make sure you're in a red district, which I don't understand that old traffic light system, because green means go, at least here in America. So it's a little bit weird that, hey, up to 25 people can get together and just, you know, have a gangbang group orgy scene. And, you know, just go ahead and keep it safe, keep it sane during this holiday season. Now, of course, when you're going to go ahead and invite 25 people over to your house, you might feel compelled to go ahead and clean up a bit, get the place ready, make everybody happy. You know what I'm saying? Dress the place up a little bit. Just, kids, be careful, because when you're trying to get rid of those cobwebs with a blowtorch, just remember you could wind up burning the house down.
What the fuck?
And that would not be good this holiday season. So, Colorado man, hey, LP, did you say Colorado? Yes, I did. A Colorado man sets his mom's home on fire while trying to clear cobwebs with a blowtorch. And I'm just like, dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Why not use a fucking broom or something, man? But no, he felt compelled by the power of Christ. So, he was arrested this week for setting his mom's house on fire using a blowtorch to clear cobwebs. So, John Charles Streckenbach was arrested on suspicion of first-degree arson, criminal mischief, causing $20,000 to $100,000 in damages, possession of a controlled substance, how shocking, and violation of a protection order. But most importantly, fire authorities responded to a fire at the home of this woman's house just before 4:30 p.m. on Monday. And upon arriving, they could see smoke coming from the roof of the single-story building, the Boulder County Sheriff's Office was saying. Investigators said that the man acknowledged using a blowtorch to clear cobwebs from the crawl space under his home as he tried to put out the fire for an hour by himself before calling emergency crews. Dude.
I mean, what the fuck?
Let's just say this, okay? If you feel compelled to go ahead and clean up your crawl space, probably using a blowtorch is a bad idea. I'm just, you know, I'm just guessing, taking a shot in the dark here, just to swag. And I mean, the best part is, right, the fire is cooking under there, and this dude is inside of this crawl space as the fire is spreading, trying to put the fire out by himself while absolutely being completely fucking snazzled on controlled substances, which that in and of itself, you've got to sit there and say, dude, what the fuck are you thinking? Right? Now, kids, of course, during this holiday season, what's most important is getting everybody around that Christmas table, right? Making sure that you're close together with your loved ones. Perhaps even when you're dead, because there's this weird fucking mausoleum that's over in God knows where here in San Juan County, Washington, that mimics the dead family's dining room table, complete with their ashes in their chair. I mean, dude. Does that not bring the cockles warm inside of your heart? You know what I'm saying there?
Aww.
Wow. So if you go down to the woods today, you're going to see a highly creepy and unusual mausoleum. And it's called the Afterglow Vista, where you can quite literally pull up a chair and join the family's table. So remember, kids, when we were talking about that fantastic Tinder date that woman weeks back went ahead and decided she'd go ahead and invite somebody over for some barbecue, and they decided to bring their mom's ashes with them just so that they could go ahead and make sure that mom met the girl. Take your date over here. Maybe take your family over here. Have a nice, warm Christmas feast over at this dead person's mausoleum in San Juan County, Washington. Just snuggle up next to the ashes of a dead family over there, because that's not fucked up and creepy at all. And why in the hell would you go ahead and use that as a selling point to visit this goddamn mausoleum? So, kids, what can I say? Make it special this Christmas season. Go visit San Juan County. Tell you what, I'm going to take a break here. All right, kids, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché of the Stars, remaster of the shit show. You're listening to Joculation. I'll tell you what, despite the piece of shit that Spotify is, you know, you can't go ahead and, like, say it's been a terrible night. You know what I'm saying there? Because,
No.
Yeah, man, we've had duck-faced camels on here that have ass implants. We've had people getting sex toys jammed inside their ass that they had to go ahead and get barbecue tongs to go ahead and rescue. We've had, like, red-lighted zones over in New Zealand where orgies of 25 people or less are permitted. I mean, dude, we have got like a plethora. Yeah. It's like a fucking cornucopia of just really weird, fucked up stories that are perfect for the holiday. You know what I'm saying? Camels with ass implants. You know it is there. They've even developed special technology just to do that. Like, not x-rays. You heard that right, you know, they're nine. But I'll tell you what, we can't do that because we got to actually go ahead and promote the show. I don't want to promote ass implants and camels, the duck-faced camels at that have been Botoxed to all hell and back so that their face looks like a Salvador Dali painting. You know what I'm saying? Something along those lines. You guys are some incredibly crazy sons of bitches. Because next thing I know, I go ahead and make my comment bang. There's a whole bunch of comments that are over on my post, the upvotes. I appreciate it all, guys. The love is fantastic. And to that note, listen, everybody that's out there over inside of podcast land too, if the bullshit analytics have Anchor to believe, because they always underreport, where this show has gone to the places, I mean, that I never thought I would see people listening to this show, places like Iran, places like Pakistan, places like Cuba. I mean, it blows me away because of the fact that some of these people, you guys are fucking risking your lives. But others of you, hey, listen, I appreciate all the love that you guys have been giving to the show. I appreciate the fact that so many people have actually picked it up, listened to it, started to make it part of their day, started to make it part of their week. And you know something? In today's day and age, man, I think we could use a hell of a lot more laughter in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, kids, next week we're going to have the Christmas Eve show. It's probably going to wind up happening. we'll see what Santa's going to go ahead and bring for everybody on that show. Some people are asking for an open mic sort of a thing. I don't know. Maybe what I'll do is play Oprah Winfrey and start interviewing all of you. Who knows? We'll have to go ahead and see how that all works out. But I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get to the wrap-up because we're running out of some time here awfully fast. And we covered a whole lot of ground here in this show. Remember, we started the show with some of the Swearbergs. We had the Lincolnshire Wildlife Park. We're separating a bunch of African gray parents because, I mean, dude.
How dare you?
They were caught encouraging each other to swear at guests. So somebody came up with an excellent idea to go ahead and make some money off of it. Why not go ahead and create a beer garden featuring the Swearbirds? And we suggested to them that maybe what we do is we take some of those gorillas that put on a live oral sex show in front of the kids at the zoo right with that, so then that way we could have the adult beer garden right there. From there, we went in and talked about the wonderful experience that LP had enjoying a relaxing day over at Disney's Animal Kingdom as a bunch of chimpanzees unleashed a brown shower of shit on some kids that decided to throw stuff at him. We also learned about the fantastic disaster that is the Bill Clinton Masterclass on Inclusive Leadership. We discussed how much of a shit show and a car wreck it was relative to the masterclass that Metallica put on how to be a band featuring Lars Ulrich. And we thought that maybe it would have been great if Bill Clinton taught some inclusive leadership to James Hetfield and Lars Ulrich while they were flying on the Lolita Express with Jeff Epstein. You know, for a little private masterclass. We talked a little about the Cirque du Soleil holidays that I went ahead and went to with AMR for our anniversary. We discussed the strong guy chin balancer sticking ladders, chairs, and tables and all kinds of shit on his face. And we thought how awesome it would be to see Jeff Hardy come bust out of the back stage area with a steel chair. Go ahead and take out one of Santa's little helpers, lay him out on the Pottery Barn table, just balanced on the dude's face and tastefully tablescaped, so that he could swanton bomb right into it the way that, just the way, you know, that like nature intended it to be, right?
Whoa!
And then we went ahead and had a couple PSA moments where we talked about very important things that we got to take care of. Like, for instance, don't make the same mistake that our fantastic ambassador Emma Phillips did, where she got a vibrator stuck up in her ass and couldn't pull it out, decided to go ahead and try and pry it out with a fork end, and then, of course, when that didn't work, did what everybody would have done in that situation. Hey, you think you could go get those barbecue tongs over there and maybe, like, reach in deep and pull it out? So we don't want to go ahead and have any of that sort of dangerous stuff happening. We talked about the cat lady that went ahead and licked all the hair off of her arms and legs and got, like, a huge old 15-centimeter hairball removed from her stomach because, you know, that's what I would do. Then we talked about the guy that felt compelled to eat a cell phone and 6 months later went ahead and actually had to have it removed. And in the event that you missed that lovely photograph, here you go to go ahead and let you see what a cell phone looks like after it's been sitting in your stomach acid for 6 months. So from there, we went ahead and started talking about the fantastic woman who wanted to just like have relive that holiday experience with her mom over and over and kept her mom's corpse inside of her house underneath the bed as long as the Social Security payments kept coming. And of course, Juliana Pena reminded us, you want somebody that you love to look at you the way that Zac Efron was looking at her. And of course, we talked about that special kind of love, like the one that when Marilyn Manson said he called Evan Rachel Wood 158 times after their breakup and often fantasized about smashing her skull with a sledgehammer. Because, kids, that's what love really is, right? Then we talked about some terrible ideas for some goop products and what it could potentially lead to, like that disaster of competing in that contest where dozens of camels were barred from the Saudi Arabian beauty contest because somebody thought that giving camels duck faces with Botox and ass implants somehow made them more beautiful. Now, listen, kids, I don't judge because what winds up happening is there was a $66 million prize purse there. You want to know something? If I had to stick rubber bands in their sphincter and ass implants over inside their butt cheeks just to win, you know I would. Because that's $66 million. I mean, and of course, they've developed advanced technologies to make sure people don't do that kind of stuff, you know? Then, of course, we talked about some of the wonderful things that people were giving there for their, you know, for the holidays, like Kazumi and how she went ahead and bought her friend and her boyfriend an alternative gift, which was sex with somebody else. And then we went into some strange, weird things like, for instance, the bacon wrapping paper or the wrapping paper you could go ahead and get a picture of yourself all over it for the Christmas gifts, or perhaps the auto blow that doubles as a safe. And if you forgot what that looks like, no problem, kids. It's a sex toy that goes ahead and does a blowjob for a man, but also keeps all of his possessions safe, like his gold bars, his dollar bills, and all that stuff. And you know what? I'm sure cleanup is a snap and the bills don't stick together. You know what I'm saying, kids? And then, of course, from there, we went ahead and talked about a whole host of other things. For instance, orgies of 25 people or less, perfectly okay and perfectly acceptable over in New Zealand at this time. It's safe and wonderful. And you know what? When you're planning that orgy, we also learned don't try and clean out all of those cobwebs with a blowtorch, especially when you're underneath the house, because you never know when you're going to set the whole place on fire, you know? And that's kind of embarrassing. And kids, you know what? Just like that, we're out of time. So I want to thank everybody that came out here tonight. I appreciate it. Love all of you for the support. Thanks for everything that you've done to go ahead and make this show what it is. To everybody out in podcast land, especially you crazy fuckers that are over in places like Iran and China that have been listening to the podcast over these past couple of months, hey, I appreciate each one of you. Thanks for going ahead and downloading it. Thanks for going ahead and helping make the show what it is also. Again, wouldn't be a show without you guys. Very cliche, but it's very true. As William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret across the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself why watch the show when you can be the show. See you guys for the Christmas Eve show next week. Take care. Good night.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted, and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.